great man performs, common men follow. And whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. Please repeat. Whatever action a great man performs, common men follow. And whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. People in general always require a leader who can teach the public by practical behavior. A leader cannot teach the public to stop smoking if he himself smokes. Lord Chaitanya said that a teacher should behave properly before he begins teaching. One who teaches in that way is called an acharya, or an ideal teacher. Therefore, a teacher must follow the principles of Shastra, scripture, to teach the common man. A teacher cannot manufacture rules against the principles of revealed scripture. The revealed scriptures like Manusmriti and similar others are considered the standard books to be followed by human society. Thus, the leader's teaching should be based on the principles of such standard scriptures. One who desires to improve himself must follow the standard rules as they are practiced by the great teachers. The Srimad Bhagavatam also affirms that one should follow in the footsteps of great devotees, and that is the way of progress on the path of self-realization. The king, with executive head of state, the father and the school teacher, are all considered to be natural leaders of the people in general. All such natural leaders have a great responsibility to their dependents, therefore they must be conversant with standard books of moral and spiritual codes. Omagyan timidandasya ginangina shilakaya chakshurvinitam janatasmai si gurave namaha Sri Chaitanya manobhistam stapitam jena bhutale shvayam rupakadamayam dadantisva padantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sarigaur Bhaktivrindam Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Om Om Bhim Shrum Om Farum Tataka Hataka Keshika Jalat Pataka Lochana Bhadwaraka Naka Svarsa Dibasana Namaste. In this very famous and often quoted verse of the Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada defines the real qualification of a leader. And there are different categories of leaders amongst human society, even amongst the devas, the demigods, those on higher planets, but the purpose is the same. The Bhagavatam describes that one should not become a deva, one should not become a demigod, one should not become a guru, one should not become a king, one should not become a teacher, one should not become a parent, unless they can deliver their dependents from the repetition of birth and death, from the wheel of samsara. This is the real duty of anyone who takes dependence, be it a demigod who is in charge of the administration of the universe and then has many people depending upon him, or be it a guru who accepts the service of accepting disciples and elevating them in God consciousness or Krishna consciousness, be it a king who governs society, be it a teacher with students in the classroom, or be it simply parents with one or two children. No one should accept those dependents unless one knows the science of self-realization or God consciousness. Why? Because the human form of life is meant for this purpose. We are all born into ignorance. We are meant to die enlightened souls, fully conscious of who we are, who is God, and what is our real relationship with God. This is the purpose of human life. Atato brahmajanasya. Now that one has come to the human life, now is the time to inquire into self-realization. This opportunity is not afforded in any of the other 8 million species of life, only the human form of life it is allowed. So one who is a leader should instill or impress upon his dependents the urgency of utilizing the human form of life in this way. Because our tendency is otherwise. Just like Prahlad Maharaj, he was a 5-year-old saint. We hear from the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's not that one has to wait till old age to become a fully realized soul, a God-conscious soul. If one is sincere, Prabhupada said you can chant Hare Krishna one time, very sincerely, Hare Krishna, and become immediately a pure devotee. Or you can chant with offenses for thousands of lifetimes and never advance very far on the transcendental path. So Prahlad Maharaj was a self-realized soul, and at 5 years old, he took up the mood of a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava is a person who shares his self-realization with others. He's not a creeper now. He doesn't keep that jewel of self-realization for himself, but he shares it liberally. Madhumaya, he shares his Krishna consciousness by speaking his realizations. That is the most intimate way in which we associate with sadhus. We desire the association of saintly people, but the most intimate form of association is to hear from a saintly person, because by hearing, all our doubts will be destroyed, and that love of God which is dormant within our hearts, it will be awoken by that Shabda Brahma, by that realized sound vibration which is coming from the heart of the sadhu or the saintly person. So Prahlad Maharaj, he was sharing his realizations in just that way, because he was going to school. His demoniac father, Hiranyakashipu, sent him to a mundane materialistic school where diplomacy and politics and cheating, these type of things, were specifically studied. His father was Hiranyakashipu, the king of the demons, the asuras. He sent him to a school to learn these things, and then one day the teachers walked out of the classroom, as teachers sometimes do, for a coffee break or a tea break, or to have some biryani or something, some puri pata. So Prahlad Maharaj immediately took the opportunity to stand up on the desk and say, "My dear friends, you should know that this human form of life is very valuable. Nayam deho deha bhajami loke. It is achieved after many millions of lifetimes, and it is actually awarded to the living entity by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And one should not chase after the same pleasures that are available in lower forms of life. One should search out his eternal relationship with God. So, my dear friends, let us all chant Hare Krishna." "Ah, Prahlad, come on, the little boys. Boys, they have fun, they play. This business of God realization, this is old. We've seen the old men in the forest. All the old men, they're searching after God. So we will become Krishna conscious when we get old, Prahlad. We have lots of time. There's so many other things we want to do now." So Prahlad, although he was 5, by the mercy of the Lord, he was fully enlightened. Tesham satada yuktanam bhajatam pratipurvikam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. Krishna says to those who serve me with love, who serve me with devotion, I who am dwelling in their heart, I give the intelligence by which they can come to me. So if one is 5, whatever age one is, if one is sincere, devotee of the Lord can enlighten him. So Prahlad very intelligently, very sharp intelligence, he said to his friends, "All right, you want to become Krishna conscious when you're old." He said, "What is the definition of old age?" "Well, one definition of old age is just before you die." Right? That's a good definition of old age. It means just before you die. And generally we think, oh, that's 80 or 90 or 99. But so many people die at 6 or 7, 10, 14, whatever. So he said to his friends, "You could be old right now, so you better start chanting Hare Krishna." So he was such a powerful acharya that, you know, he had vijnan. Vijnan means realized knowledge. Anyone can read Bhagavad Gita and benefit by the perfect, concise truth given by Lord Sri Krishna, but only after many lifetimes of practicing this Krishna consciousness does one get vijnan, or realized knowledge. So because Prahlad had that realized knowledge, his Sangha Basin was so pure, so pristine pure, then his friends immediately said, yes, Prahlad, you are right. It's like when Srila Prabhupada, he left India and he came to the West with this ancient message of Krishna consciousness. And Krishna directed him to the Bowery. Prabhupada didn't go to upstate New York where there were all the high societies and the fancy yoga clubs and things like that. No, Prabhupada went to the people who were down and out on the Bowery in Greenwich Village where there were all the beatniks, headed by Allen Ginsberg, who just died the other day, by the way. But do not lament, because he chanted Hare Krishna a lot in his life, so he will get the benefit. He befriended Srila Prabhupada when Prabhupada was first in America, so that will be to his eternal credit. He used to chant with Prabhupada, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So Prabhupada went to that part of America, and also because he is pure devotee of the Lord, he's not just an ordinary saintly person. Of course, no saint is ordinary, but Prabhupada was Prabhupada. Prabhupada means a master at whose feet all the other masters sit. So when Prabhupada would preach, just like Prahlad was preaching to the schoolboys, who would expect a five-year-old demoniac schoolboy to seriously take up Krishna consciousness? So who would expect the flower generation of America, who were, you know, for all the wonderful stories and mystery about them, hippies were addicted to, you know, all kinds of illicit activity, especially intoxication, illicit sex, gambling like this. But Sri Prabhupada was such a devotee of the Lord that when he said, won't you take up this process of Krishna consciousness immediately, because the human form of life is so rare, that just like the friends of Prahlad Maharaj, the hippies of America became happies. Hippies became happies by following in the footsteps of a saintly person and chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So this is the duty of any leader. As we gave the definition of different types of leaders, anyone who takes dependence, this is, of course, those who are our dependents, we must look after them materially as well. Because if one is struggling materially, then it may be difficult to focus on Krishna consciousness. So the leader should provide their dependents the proper balance of material facilities, but they should not neglect the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. And thus make real progress. Prabhupada describes progress here as attaining the supreme destination, the spiritual world. Of course, this will come as a shock to modern man who sees progress in terms of material advancement. But to understand what is progress, we have to first understand what is the goal. Because progress is only relevant to the goal. For example, let us say in 2 weeks I'll be leaving to go back to Europe, to my preaching in Eastern Europe and Russia, and I go via London. So my destination will be London. My goal is to get to London. But if somehow I get an airplane that's going to Cape Town, I may be going very fast. How fast do airplanes go? That fast. But because my goal is London, can you say I'm making progress? Like Nandila Nanda used to sing, so busy making progress, they forget to wonder why. Life started in the first place, and why, they have to die. So progress is only relative to a goal. If my goal is London, but I'm going hell-bent for leather towards Sydney, Australia, can I actually say I'm making progress? I'm going very fast. Was it a bird? Was it a plane? Was it Superman? He's going so fast. But am I busy making progress if I'm going in the wrong way? No. Progress is relative to the goal. So the first thing you have to determine is, what is the goal? You can't really say, I'm making progress. Making progress towards what? Well, man, I don't know what, man, I'm just making progress. To what? Well, I'm busy making progress. Progress means A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. So first we have to understand, what is the goal? Then we can say if or if not we're making progress. So what is the goal? We have many relative goals. We have to finish our education. We have to get married. We have to have children. We have to get a job. These are goals. Every human being has these goals to a greater or lesser degree. And we cannot neglect those goals. But what is the ultimate goal of life? That we have to question. There is a purpose. There is a goal to life. There's a supreme goal to life. And for that, we have to look towards, as Prabhupada says in this purport, to the Shastras, to the scriptures. And that same goal, that Param Gati, the highest destination, is described in every revealed scripture of the world. There's no contradiction, really. Some of the words may be different, the way the people dress, some of the histories are different, but the Param Gati is the same in any bona fide spiritual tradition. In the Bible, in the Quran, in the Bhagavad Gita, in the Torah, in the Lotus Sutras of Buddha, it's the same goal. The spiritual world from whence we have all come. That's described in Vedanta Sutra. Vasudeva Padagati. Vasudeva Padagati, he is the supreme goal of life, capital H, meaning Krishna. If it was a little h, it would mean he, you or me, we're the goal of life. Me, my senses, me and joy, that's the goal of life. But in Sanskrit, when everything, well, not necessarily Sanskrit, but when we write the translation of the verse out, whenever we come to Krishna, or an incarnation of Krishna, we always capitalize the H. It's not a little H, but it's a big H, indicating Krishna, God, he's the supreme destination. So if we're making progress towards Krishna, then we can understand we're making real progress. If at the end of life, we can remember Krishna as a result of our daily activities throughout our life, then back home, back to Godhead. Yam yam vapi smaram bhavam tiyachati antakalevaram. One thinks about what is most dear to him at the moment of death. That's a fact. Whatever is most dear, you will cry out to that for shelter. So many things are dear to us. But the dearest of the dear is God, whom we all have an eternal loving relationship. As important as our relationships are in this world, the fact is that they're temporary. You can't remember who was your dear mother, your dear father, your dear child in your last life. Now they're very important to you in this life, and they should be. But what is the Param Gati? What is the most important? The eternal relationship, that is with God. So throughout our lives, we can gradually, step by step, bit by bit, piece by piece, reawaken that original love for God. Then at the moment of death, very easily, we can call out, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. That takes practice. Not that, oh, okay, man, I got it. Man, just chant Hare Krishna at the moment of death, and I'll go back to Godhead. Not that easy. Moment of death is one of the most difficult moments in life. Because Prabhupada said all the bodily functions go in reverse. It's a great pain to leave this dear body. We don't want to give it up. We want to hold on as long as possible. No one wants to die. So it's a painful process to give up. So if one can be, mind can be fixed on the lotus feet of Krishna, that is a great thing. We see now, even as we go about our daily activities, sometimes, you know, we meet a little misfortune. Recently in Poland, I was in the office downstairs, and I don't know, the people who made that building must have been dwarfs or pygmies or something, I don't know. But, you know, the door was only up to here. So in my excitement to go out and do a program, I ran full speed in. And I didn't say Hare Krishna, I said something else. It wasn't a really bad word, but it... Doggone it! Ow! Here, big sannyasi, renounced monk, Hare Krishna. Ow, you rascal wall, what are you doing getting in my way? Do you know who I am? So how many of us have had that experience? You know, we're working in the kitchen, we could, oh, rascal. So how much more the moment of death, when Yamaraj comes with his Yamadutas, his attendants, and they take the soul from the body. So practice makes perfect. We have to practice a little bit every day, the art of remembering Krishna. Actually, it's a very natural thing, because in the spiritual world, everyone loves Krishna. Love is not something artificial. Love is not something that you have to force someone, right? Love that person. You don't force someone to love. Love is from the heart. Love is spontaneous. It's natural. If you love someone, and you're always thinking of that person, always, 24 hours a day, you're working, you're doing this, you're thinking, ah, my sweetheart. She's so fine, and she's mine. God is so kind. One more time, that'll be fine. So that's the perverted reflection of the original love for Krishna. Gopis, they can't forget Krishna for a moment. If they were to forget Krishna for a moment, it seems like 12 years. Because the love is so intense, to even forget Krishna for a moment is like that type of love we're trying to achieve in Krishna consciousness. This love of this world cannot even compare to that love where one, thinking of Krishna, tears flow from the eyes like torrents of rain, the hairs in the body stand on end in ecstasy, the voice falters, one falls, that symptoms of that type of love. So intense is that love for Krishna. So that type of remembrance we have to have. It's there in our heart. Krishna consciousness, something Prabhupada said, which is artificial imposition on the mind. It's something very natural. If you make advancement in Krishna consciousness, it is natural. It's nothing to be afraid of, nothing artificial. It will come very naturally, Krishna consciousness. Jiva Supaya Krishna Nityadas. It's the eternal nature of the soul. But a little practice is necessary. One at least has to go through the austerity of practicing. Just like you see any Olympic star. It looks so easy when you're sitting back in your armchair watching the Olympics. Hey, man, I could do that. Telling your wife, I could do that. No, they run like that, jump over. Me. We'll get your big fat belly off that sofa. It looks easy, but behind the ease of that Olympic athlete is years and years and years of training. Years of training. Especially if you're an athlete and you haven't trained for a while. Then you have to, you know what it's like. They call it spring training. Spring training. After the winter, you know, not at least in America, they have this baseball. It's in the spring. So you know, during the winter time, there's no sporting competition. So all the athletes sit around, you know, live a degraded life, get a little fat, out of shape. And then they're spring training. They've got it in them. But then they have to go, you know, and the coach, you know, puts them through the lat, the push-up, and the chin-up, and then, you know, what's natural to them comes after some effort. It's there, it's in their blood. They're athletes, it's in their blood. It takes some practice, they have to practice. So what's really in our hearts is bhava for Krishna, love for Krishna. And it does, you know, we understand that you have to practice for a while. You can't expect it will come immediately. Rupa Goswami says patience. We don't have to be patient. Katikshava, tolerant. And every day you practice, and what may be a little less dear, what is like poison becomes nectar in the end, Bhagavad Gita says. So Krishna comes in natural, but don't think that you don't have to make an effort. You have to make an effort because you're out of shape. Not just 4 months of the winter. You've been out of shape for millions and millions and millions and millions of lives. So you have to do those transcendental pull-ups. Of course, with Krishna consciousness, very easy. You just, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Oh, my fingers so tired. Krishna, Krishna, Hare. Keep going. No pain, no gain. Come on, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. To make the effort. And every day, if we allocate ourselves that time, we discipline ourselves. Nothing great is ever achieved without great discipline, austerity, and determination. Nothing. Even in this world, if you want to achieve something, you see those who have achieved something great. Very rare is the person who's achieved something great without any extraneous effort. You must. I mean, once in a while, someone inherits some money, you know, or he gets, you know, an honorary degree as this or that. But if you really want to achieve something great, then you have to make the effort. As much as you put into it, you get out of it. So we have our process of Krishna consciousness. It's not a secret. Everyone here knows what is the process of Krishna consciousness. 16 rounds, strict observance of the regulative principles, meticulously going through Prabhupada's books, learning this philosophy inside and out. Prabhupada said, as a lawyer knows his law books, everyone should know Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and taking some responsibility. You don't have to become temple president of the Sri Sri Radharana Temple of Understanding. I think even if we offered the post, nobody in here would take it. Except our dear Shuddhakirti Prabhu. But everyone must take some responsibility for spreading the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If that means only raising a Krishna conscious child, all glories to your service. But do something to help spread the Sankirtan movement, because this is a missionary movement. So we have to make the effort. And if we make that effort throughout our lifetime, then with ease, as the moment of death comes, with ease. This is Dhruva Maharaj. He went to great austerities and penances to achieve the mercy of Krishna. Even he had a mundane reason. In the end, it turned out to be pure. Akama sava kamova moksha kamudari di tivena bhakti yogena yajate pusharam pram. When you're full of material desires, have no material desires, desire liberation, worship the complete whole, Krishna, because you'll become pure, your desire will become pure. Dhruva Maharaj, in the end, he became a full-fledged pure devotee of the Lord. Death himself came, the Grim Reaper came to take Dhruva. So what did Dhruva do? He just took advantage of death to go back to Godhead. He stepped on death's head. Death was getting in a position to take him, so Dhruva said, thank you. And he stepped on death's head and got into his Vaikuntha airplane and went back to the spiritual world. That's how easy it is for a devotee to meet death. With nothing to fear. Death facilitates our coming closer to Krishna. So a devotee has no fear. Even an ordinary yogi has no fear of death. Dehinosmin nitadehe kovanam yovanam jara tatati antaras paptir diras tatanamuyandi. Dira means sober, equipose. Diras tatanamuyanti. As the embodied soul is continually passing from the body of a baby to a boy to a youth to an old man, so the soul passes into another body of death. Diras tatanamuyanti. A single person is not bewildered by such a change. So if that's true for an ordinary transcendentalist, what to speak of a Vaishnava devotee? We know the technically we're not these bodies and we'll change this body, so we have no fear. But for a devotee, Yamaraj is a demigod, he's a servant of the Lord. His services, you know, we take advantage of that service to go back to Godhead. When death comes, we're not afraid, we're not lamenting, we're not trying to hang on. No, I don't want to go.
Well, all right. This body?
Hey, dude, this body, this is an obstacle to pure devotion. I want to dance all night. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. We could dance all night with the body. We'd like to take unlimited amounts of prasadam, but we can only fill ourselves up to the neck. We'd like to serve all day long Guru and Gauranga. We'd like to remember Krishna and never forget him. When we put our head in a little pillow, we go into some other weird world of Star Wars or whatever. Even the gopis, they were complaining, Brahma, you are a rascal. You've got four heads and supreme intelligence. You made a mistake. What did I do? You made the eyes blink. What's so bad about that? That means when we're looking at Krishna, we blink, and for one fraction of a second, we can't see his lotus feet. You rascal. You know what that means to us? One moment not seeing Krishna. Brahma! So devotees, they practice, 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 makes perfect. So at the moment of death, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So this is progress, because that is the ultimate goal of life, the most important thing. You can make so much material progress, but that will not save you at the moment of death. You can be the biggest corporate manager of big business, have millions of dollars, two wives. Two wives. Some people get away with it. Legally or illegally, they have two or three. You can have so much that will not save you at the moment of death. Material knowledge is valuable, but it's only valuable as long as you have this body that is useless. It means nothing to you. So we should cultivate this Krishna consciousness. That's real progress. So therefore, when Vishwamitra Muni came to the palace of Maharaj Dasharatha, Maharaj Dasharatha was the father of Ram, great soul. When Vishwamitra Muni approached Maharaj Dasharatha, he asked him that question. Atishtam yat tat punarjanma jayaya? Is everything going well in your endeavor to conquer the repetition of birth and death? He asked him that question. Enlightened soul. He didn't say, how you keeping, man? I mean, how your body keeping, man? How's your car? No, he said, how is everything going in your endeavor to conquer the repetition of birth and death? Atishtam yat tat punarjanma jaya. This is actually proper etiquette. How is everything going? Terrible. That's the real answer. How's everything going? I'm going straight down the road, man, everything very nice. No, you're going straight to what? Disease, old age, and death. You know, great. Temporarily, everything may be all right, but around the corner. So, tishtam yat tat punarjanma jayaya. How is everything going? I've 60% there. And I'm determined. By the time I leave, I'll be 100% there. So, to keep the goal in mind at all the time. So we have different techniques. We have Mangal Arati, we have Japa, we have Tulsi Puja, Srimad Bhagavatam class, we have our service of the day. It's all techniques, Prabhupada's techniques of keeping our mind fixed on the goal of Krishna consciousness. Because it's easy to get distracted in this world. Just like when you go to an airport. Now the goal of going to the airport is what? To catch the plane for Durban. Durban means the farthest away forest. There's Vrindavan, Talavan, Kamyavan. But Durban means that forest which is the furthest away. It's true, it's way down the tip down here. So your goal is Durban. So when you're in Heathrow Airport, it's practically like a city there. How many of you have been to Heathrow? Raise your hands. You would be amazed. It's bigger than downtown Durban.
There's so many shops there.
Every shop in town practically has an extension. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but the fish was this big. But every store, many stores, some stores, a few stores, London's a big city, they have their, you know, other little stores in the airport. So you can spend hours. I spoke to Govinda Maharaj the other day, and he said he's coming here to South Africa in a few days, and he has a present for me. So he said, you better get a present for me, Indraduna Maharaj. This is dealings between friends. So I said, okay. So I went and I shopped. Me and Pallad were shopping. Went to this shop in hours because we had a four-hour wait. We didn't even go to all the stores. So that's okay. You know, you can do your shopping and so forth. But don't get distracted and miss the plane. That wouldn't be very good. There's many things to do in this life. But don't miss the plane. Always keep the goal in mind. Now, there's one problem. There's somebody who's trying to keep us here. Somebody who's trying to, it's not, someone who's trying to distract us. She's called Maya. It's not that, I'll just keep my mind fixed on the goal, it'll be very easy. It's not that easy. Because there's somebody here whose job it is to keep you in the material world, to keep the conditioned souls, and to test the devotee to see if the devotee is really determined to go back to Godhead. This is her thankless task. Maya Devi is a pure devotee of Krishna. Her service is to keep the conditioned souls in the material world. Her name, one name is Durga. Durga means warden of a prison, actually. Very appropriate name. This material world is just like a prison. It's just like a prison. When we conceive a prison, we think of walls, traditionally four walls. So there's four walls in this prison. Birth, disease, old age, and death. So high, you can't see the sky. Maximum security. And Durga is the warden of this prison house. So her job is to keep everybody here. So, I mean, why? Why, what kind of service is that, keeping everybody here? Why does she keep everybody in the prison house of material existence until they're ready to go back to Godhead? Well, just consider, why does a government keep the prisoners in the prison house? Because they're a disturbing element to the good citizens. As soon as they get out, they start causing so many problems. Just like there was a sort of amnesty a couple of years ago and they let some of the lower grade criminals out. Do you think the people like that idea? The people were in anxiety. Oh, the criminals are getting out. They're going to come and rob me and beat me and so forth. So the same way, Durga, she keeps the conditioned souls in this material world. They don't go back to Vrindavan. They don't get into Vrindavan and disturb the residents of Vrindavan. Because like I said, the residents of Vrindavan, they don't want to be distracted from their devotional service to Krishna, even for a moment. So therefore, Durga, she keeps them here. Her job is to harass everybody. She's a pure devotee, but she's supposed to harass it. Adiyatmak, adibhautik, adidaivik. Until we come to our senses. This is a fool's paradise. Let me get out of here. Can you imagine if Shudakirti, he went to him and said, oh, Prabhu, I finished my service, I need some more service. Harass the devotees. Oh, what? Harass everybody. What kind of service is that? But that's what Durga has to do. She herself is very expert and she has many assistants. Devi Dhamma Namatara, Jivayara Vasi, Jaga Lakshmi Raki Rahe, Yahan Mahidashi. Madhulita says, the abode of the external energy is called Devi Dham, and its inhabitants are conditioned souls. It is there that the material energy, Durga Devi, resides with many opulent service. So this is her job, to keep the conditioned souls in, and for those who are aspiring on the transcendental path, she wants to test, just like a company, before a company actually hires somebody, they test that person first to see if that person is actually loyal. They have the right. So Krishna tests the aspiring devotee. Prabhupada said the disciple must pass the test of the guru. Just like one time a man, he was the owner of a big factory. So there was one very important position open, like vice president or something. So he put an ad in the paper. And two people answered the ad. The first person opened the door, walked in, left the door open, walked in, sat down. He answered all the questions right. He knew everything. He even knew more than the boss. The next person who came for the job application, he opened the door and very carefully closed the door, came and sat down, and answered, most of the questions, but not all the questions. He didn't know as much. So the owner of the company, do you know which one he hired? He hired the second man, who didn't know so much. So the other people on the board, company board, I said, wait a minute, now why did you hire, the first man came in, he even knew more than all of us put together, but you hired the other guy who didn't know as much, why? So the boss said, well, if you notice, when the first man came in, he didn't bother closing the door, that means he's lazy. And the second man, he came in and very meticulously, he closed the door and he sat down. So even though he doesn't know as much, he's going to work harder and he'll do more for our company than the guy who thinks he knows so much and is a lazy fellow. He'll waste his time. So a company has the right to test somebody. So Krishna has a right to test us. Naham pakashya sarvasya yogamaya samanvitaham buddhayam nabhijananti lokamamajamavayam. I'm never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them I'm covered by my eternal creative potency. Thus the world does not know me, who are transcendental and supreme. Krishna doesn't want to give himself to the non-devotees who have some selfish motivation. He's called Bhaktivatsala. Bhaktivatsala means Krishna is very affectionate to the devotees who love him. You never hear Jnani Vatsala or Yogi Vatsala. Of course, they also get mercy, but they don't get Krishna. He's Bhaktivatsala because his devotees love him and he loves his devotees, so he gives himself to his devotees. So he wants to see who is a devotee. What does devotee mean? Devotees mean whose heart and soul is with Krishna. I know no one except Krishna as my Lord. He shall always remain such, even if he handles me roughly by his embrace, or he makes me brokenhearted by not being present for me. He's always my Lord, unconditionally. Krishna, 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 hey! Material life means for me, and spiritual life means for Krishna. So the test comes when Maya offers some tantalizing enjoyment in this world. Will I accept it? Or will I say no? Krishna. I'm Krishna's servant. Oh, here's a beautiful woman. She's all yours. No one's going to know. Here's one handsome man. You think I want that? Well, I've got Ishvara Padma Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadiradir Govinda Savakana Karana. My Krishna, his form is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. He doesn't grow old. He wears Vaijayanti garland, 5 types of flowers down to his ankles. When he plays his flute, the hearts of all living entities melt and exit. You think you want me to, this woman? This man? This BMW? Of course, everything can be used in Krishna's service, but I'm talking about in the sense of my own enjoyment, my sense gratification. Devotee can pass the test and say, no, I'm not interested. And Maya will test the devotee. Prabhupada said she will test you. She tested Haridas Thakur, she came herself. And she presented feminine poses which would bewilder even the mind of Brahma. What did Haridas Thakur say? I said I finished my rounds. And when I finish my rounds, we'll enjoy. So she sat and she waited. She had to wait a long time because he had 300,000 names to chant, but anyway. And by sitting there and hearing, The Namacharya chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare. She also started chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, she became a pure devotee. So this is a very good example for all of us. There's so many temptations in this world. And even if we have some attraction for those temptations, if we're experiencing higher tastes, we can remain fixed in Krishna consciousness. That's why chanting is so important. Chanting is our life. Chanting is our soul. Chanting is the be-all and end-all of our existence. When we sit down and chant our 16 rounds every morning, that is the most important part of our day. Based on that, chanting, everything else develops or devolves. It evolves or devolves. Chanting is so important. Because Krishna says that the one who's trying to control his senses, even though the taste for sense objects remains, he remains fixed in consciousness because he has that higher taste of Krishna consciousness. So if every day we're chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram, protection, protected against. So it's our saving grace. The holy names are our saving grace. So Maya will test. We should never underestimate her. Never let your guard down. It's like the boxers. When they're boxing, they know. You know, you're in the middle of a match. You don't just go, oh, let's have a little coffee break from it. You have to always keep your guard up. Also in warfare, there's certain codes of war. There's one code of war that when your enemy advances, you retreat. And when your enemy retreats, you advance. This is the science of war. You can remember this in case you ever get involved in a war. When the enemy advances, and he's more powerful than you, don't, you know, courageously go, you know, to fate. No, go back. And when he retreats, then you advance. So when Maya attacks, we have to retreat and take shelter of Krishna. Don't try to play with Maya, fight with Maya. Take shelter. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram. And when Maya's not bothering you, take advantage of those moments to progress in Krishna consciousness. The same thing. You chant. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram. So you have to know your enemy. So Maya's tricks, they basically fall into two categories. She has her material temptations, which she offers you, and she has her spiritual temptations, which she offers you. Wait a minute. I can understand that Maya has some material temptations, but what sort of spiritual allurements does she have to distract me from the path of pure devotional service? That doesn't make sense. I'm a spiritualist. I'm a transcendentalist. What tricks does Maya have up her sleeve in her bag to distract me from pure devotional service? Well, that is very nicely described by Srila Narottam Das Thakur. Bhukti mukti spriha vihina je bhakta lavite tako sange anurakta. I yearn for the company of that devotee who is completely devoid if any desire for worldly enjoyment and liberation. Bhukti mukti spriha. Bhukti means, you know, material enjoyment. And mukti means liberation. Spriha. Bhukti mukti spriha. Vihina je bhakta lavate tako sange anurakta. Give me the association of that devotee who has lost two desires. The desire for material enjoyment and the desire for liberation. The desire for worldly pleasures are one form of deviation. But unfortunately, some transcendentalists can conquer over those desires, but they get trapped by Maya at the last stage. They want to become one with the Supreme. Well, listen, there's two types of illusions in this world. One is that I am this body, and the other is that I am God. These are the two illusions of this world. These are mine's two tricks. You learn your tricks, you'll never fall prey to her. I am this body or I am God? Prabhupada said that the concept that I am God to merge into the existence of God, that's the last snare of material existence. So sometimes Maya is offering you the pleasures of this world, and sometimes she'll offer you liberation. What will you say?
No way!
We're not interested in merging into the existence of God. Who can become God? God is always God. We want to become servant of God. We don't want to mukti in that sense, because there's no devotional service to Krishna. Prabhupada Saraswati, he said that type of liberation is worse than hell. Kaivalya Naraka Yakte Tridashu Akshasha Pushpite. Prabhupada quotes this verse so many times in his teachings. Let us glorify Lord Gaurasundar. For if one attains his merciful sidelong glance, the impersonal liberation emerging into the splendor of God becomes as palatable as going to hell. And the heavenly cities of the demigods appear as phantasmagoria. The poisonous fangs of the untamable black snakes of the senses become broken. The whole world becomes full of joy, and Lord Brahma, Lord Indra, and all the other demigods become as insignificant as insects, their positions, to one who's actually tasted Krishna Prema. Liberation, becoming a deva, sense gratification, ha ha, are you kidding me? I'm chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So now we know Maya's tricks, so we don't have to fall prey to them. And if she comes, we have that Param Vishnu Vata take us every day, right? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. We don't want to become deviated, because sometimes when you get deviated, it takes a while to get back on track. Like Bharat Maharaj. Bharat Maharaj, he was at the level of what? Bhava. When he was chanting, the tears were rolling down his cheeks. Krishna, Krishna, oh Krishna. Somehow or other, he became attracted to a lowly creature like a deer. His lower sentiments came out. Became attached, remembered the deer at death. What did he become? A deer in his next life. He had to wait a whole life until he again became a brahmana. But this time he was very careful. He kept himself, you know, covered in the sense, covered not by the external energy, but covered in the sense that he didn't allow the people in general to know who he was, because he didn't want name or fame. Nadanam najanam nasundarim kavicham vajagadishikamai mama janmani janmani ishure bhavatad bhaktiya haitikitvai. Another obstacle. My Lord, I have no desire to accumulate wealth, I don't want to enjoy the opposite sex, and I don't want fame and reputation. That's another stumbling block for the transcendentalist. We've seen great yogis who've given up the opposite sex, who've given up money, but then they get attached. Oh, I'm a big famous person, everybody bow down. Bow down, mister. To me. So we don't even want name or fame. We want to be the humble servants of the Lord. So Jatavarad, he was an enlightened soul, because he'd been through the trial of ordeal, fire of ordeal. I made a mistake. I don't want to make that mistake again. Oh boy, I'm going to become a deer again. A bunch of leaves in the forest. Of course, he was fortunate. Krishna gave him his memory, so he used to go and sit at the Bhagavatam classes of sages. That's what he did. There were lots of sages, so he just put his ears up. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. He'd listen like that. The next lifetime he was so careful. Look, so careful, nobody recognized who he was. Even his own father. Father wanted to give him the Gayatri thread, so he, you know, put it around him like a dumb beast, you know, right, chewing on it, you know, wrapping it around. He tried to give him the Gayatri mantra.
Dumb fool! You're the son of a Brahmin. What's wrong with you?
Gaga, gigu.
The fool. Actually, he wasn't a fool. He was doing it on purpose. He's so careful not to deviate an inch. He didn't want to lose that opportunity. So, you know, he was wandering around and different things happened to him. And finally, you know, the king's soldiers, they took him to carry the palanquin of Maharaj Jadabharat. So, you know, one, two, three, four, they had to do it very carefully because the king's there. But because he was devotee, he couldn't hurt even an ant. The Buddhas are respectful towards all forms of life. So as they were walking, there were ants, and Jadabharat was like, ooh, he was walking in such a way, you know, that he wouldn't step on an ant, and the whole palanquin was going like this. So the king said, you dumb beast in the form of a human? You fool, you idiot! Whatever else they say. But he was covered. He didn't, you know. But finally, out of his mercy, he came out of his disguise. The king was saying, you don't know who I am. I'm the king. You blubbering idiot. So Jadabharat came out and said, okay, that's enough. You think you're the king. But you're only the king by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Any moment he can remove you from that position. Your real position is that you're eternal servants of Krishna. And you're proud and puffed up with false prestige. Next life you could become an ant. Somebody will step on you. Jadabharat, wait a minute. Who are you, Jadabharat? You're speaking, please accept me as your disciple. The king was saying, I'm your disciple. So he came out of that covered position for preaching. But the point is the devotee is very, very careful because he doesn't want to deviate even for a moment. It just takes a moment's deviation. You're driving down the road, 160 kilometers an hour. Everything's coming up roses. Everything's going my way. Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. Look at that beautiful... Everything's going very nice. You're driving down the road. Just a little, one glance at the sunrise. One moment. Kaput. So Prabhupada said, devotional service is like that. Like the razor's edge. You very carefully get a clean shave. Just one. Oh, hi. Oh, hi there. 3-inch scar, you know, crusher. So don't make any blemish on your devotional career. Don't make any scar in your devotional life. Remain steady on the path of devotional service, faithful, chaste, to Guru and Krishna, and in due course of time you'll be there. It's just a question of time, actually. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, I see no reason why all my disciples cannot go back to Godhead in this very lifetime. You know, a few may arrive early, and they'll recommend you. My friend's back there. All right, take him. You know, like just a couple turtles and a few rabbits, so the rabbits will make it back. But everybody... Confucius said, the longest journey begins with the first step. The better to go, be going slow and sure in the right direction than very quickly and foolishly in the wrong direction. So now, by Prabhupada's grace, we're pointed in the right direction. We were going the wrong way. We're going to Patala, lickety-split, whew, and very proud of it at the same time. Somehow or other, Prabhupada intervened in our lives. Prabhupada's representative intervened in our life and convinced us, you know, Om Tat Vishnu Paramam Padam Sarasvam, to look to the lotus feet of Vishnu. All the great sages, Rig Veda says, they're always looking to the lotus feet of Vishnu. Somehow or other, look, wow, look at that, Radha Krishna. Now we're on the right direction. Stick to the rules, stick to the regulations, stick to the path of devotional service, and before you know it,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna.
We'll be there. But a slight deviation, even from the path exalted as Bharat Maharaj, meant a whole other birth, actually another two births. So we don't want to stay in this world, material world, longer than we have to. And in this lifetime, even though we're sadhikas, we can make it, because Krishna can bless even a sadhika. There's one deity in India, a very special deity, his name is Tota Gopinath. How many of you have had darshan with Tota Gopinath? Tota Gopinath is the deity of Gadadhar Pandit. Actually, he's originally the deity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu found him in a sand dune, which he saw as Govardhan Hill. Deity was buried there. He worshipped that deity. He gave him to Gadadhar Pandit. And Gadadhar Pandit, that was his Prandhanahe, his lord of his life, Tota Gopinath. Tota Gopinath was such a merciful deity that when Gadadhar Pandit was getting very old, he could hardly reach up to put the jewels on. So Tota Gopinath sat down on the altar. You go there today, he's sitting on the altar like that, accepting the service of his eternal devotee, Gadadhar Pandit. And there's a little crack in his knee. And that's the place that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered when he left his earthly pastimes. He went into that deity of Tota Gopinath. You can have the pujaris are very favorable towards ISKCON. They lift up the skirt of the deity, you can see him sitting there. Yeah, his legs like this, and there's a crack there, and then they point it out. So it said that that Tota Gopinath deity, he's the deity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's the deity of Gadadhar Pandit. Gadadhar Pandit is Srimati Radharani. Very intimate. That deity is a very special deity. It said that deity can give prem to a sadhika, to one who's just beginning the path of devotional service. You know, one foot in, one foot out. That deity is so kind that he can give prema bhakti to a sadhika. It's possible. It's possible by the mercy, the combined mercy of Śrīla Prabhupāda and Lord Chaitanya Mahāprabhu, that a devotee who's faithful, who's chaste to Krishna consciousness, can get their full mercy. Chastity is something very powerful. Even from the material point of view, if a brahmachari can remain chaste to his guru's instructions, faithful, can become very, very strong spiritually. And we know the story, we won't have time now, but the story of Savitri. Because of her chastity to her husband, her faithfulness to her husband, Yamaraj gave her husband back. He took him to the kingdom of death. But Savitri said, okay, you can take him, but I want a child. So he blessed her, you have a child. She said, I can only have a child by my husband, I'm a chaste woman. And so Yamaraj smiled, he said, you tricked me. Here's your husband back. So the Acharyas say it was her chastity that won the heart of Yamaraj. So what will win the heart of Guru, what will win the heart of Krishna, is if the devotee is chaste. He doesn't give in to the material energy. He doesn't say yes to his temptations. He always says no, and he always says yes to Guru. He always says yes to Krishna. That type of chastity, it endears you to the Guru, endears you to Krishna. And you get their kripa, you get their mercy. That is our only qualification. What qualifications do we have? With lifetimes of nonsense. We just started the process of devotional service and we're asking to go home back to Godhead. So let it at least be obedient servants. Because the first symptom of love is obedience. So if we're obedient servants of our Guru, if we're obedient servants of Prabhupada, obedient servants of Krishna, out of their kindness, out of their compassion, their mercy, then we can make progress, real progress, to the ultimate destination, Param Gati, and in this very lifetime, go back home, back to Godhead. Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Their Lordship C.C. Radharadhanath ki. Shri Ram Nomi Maha Mahotsava ki. Nitai go Pimanandi. Hari Hari Hari.
Hare Krishna, this is one very important announcement.